investigating whether Boeing failed to make sure the blown-off fuselage panel met regulations. Right now, Dow's been bouncing around. It's down more than 170 points. This is SRN News.
Conservative Theological University has provided biblical theological education for God's pastors, evangelists, missionaries, and Christian educators since 1982. CTU would be delighted to assist you in your Bible studies. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today. The CTU campus is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295. Leave your contact info today at 1-800-GO-BIBLE.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today that I believe should get the attention of each and every Christian, conservative, and patriot that's tuned in. I challenge you today to listen carefully to what the Scripture says in relationship to false teachers. Perhaps you say, well, how to identify a false teacher? How to identify a false preacher? You know, let me just simply say this. You can have a false teacher, false preacher, might read from the Scripture and say, I'm going to preach and tell you what God's Word says. But ladies and gentlemen, because he reads a verse or verses from the Scripture, doesn't mean there's going to be the proper interpretation and communication. There's a process, if you will, in hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is an unusual word, simply means the art and science of biblical interpretation. And in hermeneutics, when you look at a unit of thought, a paragraph of thought, or a chapter in the Scripture, you look at it on the basis you're going to do the investigation. Who's it talking with? Who's it talking to? What's it talking about? What's the setting? What's the custom? What's the background? And then you do the interpretation. What is the Scripture saying? Then you say, what does it say to me? And then the application. How do we apply what's being said? Those are the basic 3 principles in hermeneutics. And most of the time, that's not done today. For example, you have one that comes on this same network. His name is Steve Greggs. He's a radio Bible call-in answer man, if you will. He says that at one time he believed that hell was real. He said, but I've learned better now. He says that polygamy is okay because Jesus Christ never spoke against it. And he goes on and on and on with his false teaching, false diatribe, that's antithetical to the Word of God. If we look at the Scripture and we understand what the Scripture is saying, we need to recognize that the Scripture is without admixture, it's without error. It is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. This is the reason, Pastor Davis, it is so vital that people that's going to stand and preach and teach, that they have a theological understanding of what the Bible says.
Amen.
And you touched on it a moment ago. That's the reason Conservative Theological University exists today. Is to train men and women in the proper interpretation and the proper handling of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. CTU has been around since 1982. CTU has a goal and a purpose of training people in the Word of God, how to handle the Word. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, this Monday, the 15th of this month, at 5:30 p.m. here on the campus of Conservative Theological University, we have the spring semester kickoff. We have the orientation. Each of the professors that will be teaching courses on campus will be giving a blurb of what the course is about. You're invited to drop in, sit with us, and listen to what will be done. Because listen, for the first time in the history of Conservative Theological University, we're offering a free online Bible course for anyone that wants to sign up. You have to register as a student. You have to pay for your textbook. But the course itself is a free course. You can take New Testament survey, Old Testament survey, Bible Doctrines 1, Bible Doctrines 2. And we've got several dozen online courses that you could choose from. But we recommend either New Testament survey, Old Testament survey, Bible Doctrines 1, or Bible Doctrines 2 to get you started with a fundamental foundational foundation in the Word of God. And so you're invited to do so. If you want to call and check on that, you can call 1-800-GO-BIBLE, leave your name and telephone number so someone can reach out to you and answer your questions. If you want to just drop in at 5:30 on the 15th, love to have you as our guest. Come and see what we're doing. Ask your questions. Enroll for your free online Bible course that I believe every person listening needs to avail themselves to. Pastor Davis, let's get down to some rudimentary fundamentals. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. So what are some of the scriptural warnings, ladies and gentlemen? Perhaps you're saying, well, what does the Bible say about false teachers, about false preaching? Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is replete with cautions and warnings that we need to be aware of that. Dr. Davis, if you would, find 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and read that audibly for our listeners. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 and 4 in the scripture, and then drop down to verse 11 through 15. Read that for us.
Okay, 2 Corinthians 11, 3 and 4. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Mm-hmm. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. And we're going down to verse
11 through 15.
11 through 15. Wherefore, he says, because I love you not, God knoweth. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, if I can summarize that thought, and then Dr. Davis and I will bound it about for a moment, love to hear your comments, your questions on it. The Apostle Paul is warning the believers at the church at Corinth that they're false teachers that will look like the real thing, talk like the real thing, but they're demonically inspired. They are traveling as angels of light, but deceitful and wicked in what they're saying and doing. Now, perhaps you say, is that possible today? Absolutely. In fact, Dr. Davis in 2 Peter, the second chapter, read the first three verses, and that will explain what the false teachers are doing and their modus operandi and why they're doing what they're doing. Read that aloud for us, and then let's talk about it.
Amen. First verse says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, mm-hmm. who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction.
Yes.
And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, mm-hmm. bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow.
Yes.
Making them as an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly.
Yes. Pastor, in the first three verses, let's go back and look for the benefit of our listeners just a moment. And through covetousness, talking about the false teachers, covetous means simply greed, shall they with feigned, I like that, word feigned is plastos, it means plastic, the shell of the real thing, with plastic words, molded words, formed words, make merchandise of you. The whole purpose of a false teacher is to make merchandise
Amen.
Of the listener.
Amen.
How many times, ladies and gentlemen, have you listened to a pastor, preacher, teacher that wants to use money as an incentive for God to bless you? If you will send your $100 in to this ministry, God's going to multiply it and give you $1,000. How many times have you heard things or nuances thereof? That is false teaching, ladies and gentlemen. You don't have to bribe God for God to bless you. And that is what we find in chapter 2 of 2 Peter. I believe there's 22 verses totally. And all 22 verses dealing with the false teachers and the false teachings. In fact, in the scripture it talks about here and also in Jude how the false teachers are like clouds without rain.
Amen.
How many times you looked at, especially the dry, parched summer months, and you want rain, and you see what looks like a rain cloud, and it comes over, and it doesn't produce any rain.
And sometimes lightning. Boom, boom.
That's right.
You think it's coming.
You think it's coming. And the same is true with the false teachers. They are clouds without water, without rain. They offer something, promise something that cannot be produced because it is make merchandise of you. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're talking about some of the scriptures that God gives us as warnings in His Word to be aware of the false teachers, the false preachers. And it is necessary, Pastor, for Christians to contend for the faith, the scripture says.
Amen.
In fact, in Jude 3 and 4, we must contend for the faith. That word contend means to struggle, to fight for, to defend, to hang on to the truth of the Word of God.
Amen. And then here's a passage also, Dr. Youngblood, here. Verse number 4.
Mm-hmm.
I heard you say something about a preacher preaching that hell wasn't real.
That's right.
Here it is in verse number 4.
Yes.
Now this is the Apostle Peter. And he's preaching, and he's telling you, for if God spared not the angels, that's verse number 4,
mm-hmm.
2 Peter 2, if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, why would he say that if hell wasn't a real place?
And the other thing is, when you look at Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, where ultimately the end result, Satan is going to be cast into hell. And it's the word Tartarus, it's fire and brimstone. And yet those that deny the reality of hell, those that reject the teachings of the scripture about hell, contend that somehow, some way, they've learned better. In fact, their philosophy is that hell is not a real place. Fire and brimstone is not a real place. It's just to be separated from God. Ladies and gentlemen, if hell is just separation from God, every atheist, every heathen, every agnostic, every disbelieving non-believer should be happy.
Amen.
They'll be separated from God forever. That's not the whole point of hell. Hell is a real place. Hell is a designed place, according to Matthew chapter 25, for Satan and all of his angels. Hell was not created for human beings, but because human beings make a decision to say no to Jesus Christ, they choose to go to that place called hell. And a preacher, teacher, I don't care what you call him, can deny the reality of hell until Jesus comes. It doesn't turn the temperature down 1 degree in that place called hell. In fact, in Colossians 2:8, the scripture says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit."
And then, Dr. Youngblood, there's now, you know, that was a stepping stone for me. In the class that I taught last semester, yes, which I'll be teaching again this semester on cults and world religions,
yes,
we examined the fact that the Jehovah's Witness teach that hell is the grave.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you just got finished reading right there how people are teaching these false things for doctrine, and they're deceiving many people.
That's right. That's the danger, the sad part.
So this is why we are here. Again, mm-hmm, this is why CTU exists.
Yes.
We're trying to give you the knowledge of the truth coming from Scripture.
Yes.
But again, let me stress the point that I made in the first beginning, that for every child of God, you have to spiritually discover that the whole Bible is true and is right.
Yes, absolutely. Amen? Absolutely. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question and comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood, Dr. Davis, how are you gentlemen doing this afternoon?
Doing great. I pray that you
Hello,
are.
Hello, Jim.
Hello. Well, Dr. Davis, I heard you giving out some high praise there. I'm just going to let you know right now, I've never heard any untruths from your mouth. And you standing right up there on top of the shoulders of giants with Dr. Youngblood next to you. So,
amen.
Now that
amen.
That's out of the way, sir.
Amen. Amen. I'm so grateful. Amen. So grateful.
Hey. Amen. I this, listen
this
as
man
often as I can.
He means a lot to me.
Amen.
Amen. Praise
we're
God.
Thankful for you as a listener.
It comes through the airwaves. Trust me. It does. It does. It comes
amen.
Through the airwaves. Now that you're in the book of Revelation, if I recall correctly, I think the last two verses is a pretty strong warning about adding to or subtracting from the word.
That's right.
And also, I do believe that, you know, when Christ was talking about the father of lies, typically the father is the first. You know, mm-hmm, Jesus' father is God. He is the first there. But God was not the father of lies. He created.
Jim, are you there? Jim, are you there?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. Okay. Something you cut out.
Oh, I did?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You know, when did Jesus talked about the father of lies, and the father of Jesus was God. God created the angels, and one of those angels then became the father of lies. So he's been around for a long, long time, and he is pretty wise, pretty wily, and pretty deceptive there. So there's lots of warnings about how he can appear as an angel of light using the scripture, because he knows there's a God and he knows there's a Jesus.
By the way, Jim, and if I can jump into this and get your take on it, the false yes, teacher that I harp on sometimes, Steve Greggs, it comes on across the nation and on this same network, Steve Greggs says that Lucifer is not Satan. He claims that where you find in the scripture in Isaiah text where one of the archangels fell, took a third of the heavenly host with him, he says, and I quote, he says, there's no evidence that one that fell is the one that is Satan today. He says, there's no evidence in the scripture that identifies Satan, that Satan did not fall, that Satan was not Lucifer, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. How do you respond to a false teaching like that?
Well, if you go, now, this is my interpretation from what I've read from that very segment of the Bible that you're talking about. It goes on down inside of there. I can't give you the exact verse right now. I'm sure you gentlemen could do better than I can. But it says, you sought to put yourself above. You thought of yourself as creator. You sought to, you know, basically usurp God. I mean, mm-hmm, that pretty much right there just gives me all I need to know that who that person or that angel was. I don't need anything more than that.
That's right. That is where the in the 24th chapter of Isaiah, if I'm not mistaken, where Satan or Lucifer was then, which was the bright morning stars, he was called. Lucifer said, five times, I will. The mindset that I'm going to be like God, I'm going to be in control. And in fact, the whole thing is he's always wanted to be worshipped as God. Yes, I don't have any question about who it is, but it goes back to the subject we're talking about is false teachers. How do we identify them? Jim, if you would indulge me for one moment. If you hear somebody preaching and teaching, what comes to your mind first of all to ascertain if that is true biblically or false?
Well, what first comes to my mind is he speaking what I have read in the scripture, and I've heard you often say that iron sharpens iron. And if he's saying something that disagrees with what I have read, I will hold that to myself and ponder it. Then I'll go back and I'll read about it. And then I may go to that person and ask them to clarify what they're saying. And then together, iron sharpening iron, I can find and determine through discernment where this individual is coming from, and I can decide whether it is me and the misunderstanding on my part, or they and a misunderstanding on their part, and then I go to other brothers who know the scripture, and I will talk to them as well. So you should always be pondering the word of God on your heart. It should always be on your mind. And through those two things, and being in the Word of God in Christ, you should be able to see that pretty straightforward. Some are going to be real quick.
Yeah, Jim, if I could
be ask, so subtle.
Yes, I ask you to listen for a moment. Dr. Davis is going to read a verse of Scripture, and I believe that identifies what you just said. Read that for us, Dr. Davis.
This is coming from Acts chapter 17, verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so.
Hey, what the scripture is saying, Jim, is exactly what you're saying in different words. Listen to the word, but then search the scripture to see if it be so.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Are those your thoughts?
That was exactly, well, the Bible's going to say it better than I am. I'm more of a paraphraser, but God's
Well, I just thought I, was, I thought I would support what your position is based on the truth of the Word of God, and that's exactly what every Christian needs to do. You need to hear the Word, but then search it. In other words, I'd put it in the paraphrase this way. The Berean Christian said, let's listen to that preacher, but let's go back and look at the Scripture and see if he be true. See if he's true or false. See if he's a false teacher or a true teacher. And that's what I believe every Christian under the sound of my voice today needs to do. Check it based on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Jim, thank you so much, brother.
Thank you.
God bless you. And let's keep looking up.
Our
redemption draweth nigh. Thank you. Have a blessed day.
Well, that one verse of Scripture, Dr. Youngblood, I'm grateful for that. Because that's four. I believe that's three or four of the most important steps every Christian should take. You must first receive the word.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're not receiving, it's not going to do you any good. You have to receive, okay, the word with, number two, all, not some, all readiness of mind. That means you are eager to learn. You want to know.
Mm-hmm.
You have a great desire to know.
Yes.
But you have to have all readiness to put away all other things mm-hmm. that run contrary to what you're trying to find out.
Absolutely.
That's where we make the most, because what some people do, and this is what I had teaching in the class last semester.
Mm-hmm.
Some people take false teachings and try to line them up with the Word of God, and like eating fish. I know I hear you say eat the meat and throw the bones away, mm-hmm. but some of them eat the meat with the bones They end up choking.
That's right, choking on it. One of the things, Pastor, that I believe is vital for all of our listeners to understand, and that is in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, 2, and 3. The scripture is very, very clear that we need to test the spirits, plural. When you read that text, it is the spirits, plural. Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. You have the unholy Spirit, and the two are vying for power and position and for control of our heart and mind. And so the scripture is very, very clear for the child of God. We need to test the spirits to determine what I'm hearing. Is it from the Holy Spirit or is it the unholy Spirit? There's one, it'd be one of the two. It's not, cannot be both. But ladies and gentlemen, there are four principles, four major questions that I want to leave us with today on this broadcast. Four questions, Pastor Davis, that I believe that every Christian needs to ask. Some of the questions that we need to ask to determine when we're listening to a teacher or a preacher, is it true or false? Number one, does the teaching convict of sin? Does the teaching convict of sin? Ladies and gentlemen, preaching the Word of God has never been designed of God to make one feel good about themselves, but to bring conviction, and that conviction to the point of commitment of one's life unto the Lord. I read an article recently about a dear lady that said that she was in a conference where multiple preachers were preaching. One of the preachers preached, and she said, I was away from God, away from the will of God, had not said yes to Jesus Christ. I knew that my life was a mess. And she said, one preacher preached and brought me to conviction. And I thought, I need to get saved. I need to say yes to Jesus. But she said, the next preacher stood and preached, and everything that I had been doing, he made me feel good about my sin. Ladies and gentlemen, proper preaching will bring conviction about one's sin. In fact, Hebrews 4:12 says, the Bible is sharper than a two-edged sword. Then the second thing is, ladies and gentlemen, does the teaching suggest giving money for God to be tested? And that's a making merchandise view that the 2 Peter text talked about. There are multitudes today that will say, if you really want God to bless you, send you $100, God's going to multiply. So the second question, does teaching, that teaching preaching, suggest giving money to test God? The third question, does the teaching contradict the Word of God? The Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, has no contradictions in it. There are no errors. There's no admixture. It is simply the truth of the Word of God. And part of that, ladies and gentlemen, is the fact that Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:16-17, says that the Scripture is given, that it is pure, that it is perfect. It is designed to strengthen and encourage and to build the man or woman of God. And the fourth major question, does the teaching, the preaching, diminish the deity of Jesus Christ? Any preaching, any teaching that says that Jesus Christ was half God and half man is false teaching. Jesus Christ is 100% God, God incarnate, and 100% man. And ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand what the Bible says in relationship to who Jesus Christ is. In John chapter 1, verse 18 says that Jesus Christ came to reveal God to man. Pastor Davis, we've got about 20 seconds. Wrap our broadcast up today with a challenge for our people, our listeners.
In the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in the book of St. John, chapter 5, verse 39, he said, search the scriptures.
Yes.
For in them ye think ye have eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
They are they that testify of me. So let us do that with a heart full of love and concern and understanding, knowing that God will never lead us down a dead-end road.
Amen. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining in today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly 9 to 10.